Welcome to the BRAD podcast, where we explore ways to pursue peak performance with passion throughout life without taking ourselves too seriously. I'm Brad Kearns, New York Times bestselling author, former number 3 world-ranked professional triathlete, and Guinness World Record Masters athlete. I connect with experts in diet, fitness, and personal growth and deliver short breather shows where you get simple, actionable tips to improve your life right away. Let's explore beyond the hype, hacks, shortcuts, and sciencey talk to laugh, have fun, and appreciate the journey. It's time to be rad.
If your relationship is not where you want it to be.
I'm so excited to introduce you to Peluva. This is a new zero-drop minimalist shoe with the distinctive five-toe design from my main man, Mark Sisson. Peluvas give you the most authentic barefoot-style experience, but with sufficient cushioning so you can use them for all manner of daily movement, especially walking and many other fitness and athletic activities. Peluvas are also incredibly stylish, so you get a barefoot shoe that you're not embarrassed to wear around in daily life. It's been so cool to see the popularity of minimalist shoes grow over the recent years, but Peluvas are a step ahead of every other zero-drop wide-box shoe because of the critical feature of individual five-toe articulation, a separate slot for each of your toes. This allows for correct dynamic movement of the foot through the walking or running stride, which is impossible when your toes are encased into a single box, even a wide box. Well, you might know that minimalist shoes have faced controversy in recent years for causing injuries from inappropriate use. So here is the big picture mission. We want to get you walking in Peluvas, living in your Peluvas, going barefoot in your home or other safe areas as often as possible. Go ahead and use your specialized cushiony running shoes or your basketball shoes, work boots, high heels, things that you want to wear when you want to wear them, but wear your Peluvas as much as possible to reawaken the natural functionality of the human foot to stand, walk, run, and perform. Do you want to try a pair? I'm certain that when you put them on and walk around, you are going to quickly realize that these are the most comfortable natural shoes that you've ever worn. They are designed to feel like you're, quote, walking barefoot on a putting green. Please visit Peluva.com, that's P-E-L-U-V-A, and use the code BRADPODCAST and get 10% off your first pair. Peluvas, let your feet be feet.
Dr. Judson Brandeis.
All right, we're back again.
I'm so excited to be back. I had a great response to the first show with lots of questions from males in a certain age group, especially about the amazing things you're doing here in your clinic. And one of the themes was the, the harmonious interplay between lifestyle optimization versus the various tools that we have available now in the high-tech world and in the medical care world for lifelong male sexual function, longevity, and peak performance. And one of the best themes that came out of the last show was how you emphasized that they go hand in hand. So if you're keeping your muscle mass, if you're looking good in your body composition, this correlates directly with sexual function. I believe the quote was seeing longevity through the eyes of the penis, you know, something to that effect. So
I'm going to make it. Yeah. You know, I was just talking about these AI things where you could create images.
Yeah, yeah.
Custom. I'm gonna create an image of me looking through a guy's penis.
Tell us.
Like the... At like the overall health of
with your cellular clothes,
yeah. I mean, for me, it all starts with lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not eating too much, if you're not drinking alcohol, if you're not smoking, you're not doing drugs, you're getting enough sleep, you're nice to other people, you're stretching, you're meditating, all these things that we're doing in the office. I mean, you're eventually going to need them, but you're not going to come in when you're 45 and need it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to come in when you're 55 or 65 or 75 or 85. You know, you want to push these issues further down the line.
Do you see some magic numbers, if you will, in the clinic where it's clearly in the decade of the 50s, this tends to happen, or the 60s? And I mean, there's Masters track and field records where they have this really steady progression. So every year you lose like 1% of your ability in the 400 meters, let's say. And then there's this huge inflection point in the graph at like around 70, where anyone who's still standing perhaps is going to be...
You know, it's interesting because I show a graph of the world record for the 100-yard freestyle.
In swimming.
In swimming. Yeah. But for running, it's pretty much the same. And as far as I know, from these graphs, the inflection point really is at 60.
Mm.
So if you're doing absolutely everything right, kind of like what you're doing, but you know, even more with you know trainers and sleep and you know all the things that you should be doing, the you know you'll decline at a somewhat steady rate between 20 and 60. But even though the world's best 60-year-old can sort of compete with the world's best 20-year-old, but after 60, you begin to decline fairly precipitously, and after 80, things really take off.
Where do you think that's from in a healthy-ish individual?
You know, it's multifactorial, but certainly testosterone contributes to that. IGF-1, human growth factor, nitric oxide. And then there are other factors like methylation and how your DNA begins to deteriorate after those ages, which, you know, I'm not really an expert in that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's not just one thing. And clearly there are things that we can do, like testosterone replacement or human growth hormone, not that I do much HGH replacement, but I do a lot of testosterone replacement, that can really turn the clock back for a lot of guys. And that's what Gainswave does for Gainswave and PRP and a number of the other interventions we do in the office is it turns the clock back for guys 5 or 10 years.
Let's hit those briefly, each one. So the Gainswave is the high-frequency shockwave treatment that's especially designed for penile function.
Right.
And what is it doing when we get treatments?
I
feel great.
90% of erectile dysfunction, give or take, is vasculogenic, meaning it's related to blood vessels. And as you age, blood vessels begin to get clogged. That undergoes. This is why I keep this in the office, right? So this is a normal blood vessel.
That was for the outgoing male or something.
You know, as you age, you begin to clog blood vessels.
Ah.
And then you get to that point.
So those are watching on YouTube, he's showing a series of increasingly clogged blood vessels.
And so
not looking pretty there at the end with all the yellow. And
so you know, the heart pumps, and the two last places to get blood in the body are the toes and the penis.
Really?
Right.
Why is that?
Well, they're the furthest away from the heart.
Wow. Okay.
But you don't get toe erections. And when blood flow declines to the toes, you get cold feet. You put socks on, no big deal, right? It's not like your feet stop working. If your feet stop working because of vascular flow, you got really, really big problems. But the penis is different, right? The penis moves entirely based on blood flow. And you have to pump enough pressure into the penis that the penis swells, and there are veins that are on the outside of the connective tissue that lines the erectile body, and those veins get squashed. Kind of like there's two layers, kind of like an ice cream sandwich, and the veins live in the ice cream. And when there's enough pressure, those veins get compressed. And when those veins get compressed, then blood is trapped in the penis, and then you get a rigid erection, and the erection rises, right? If you don't get enough pressure in the penis, then blood flow goes into the penis, but then it also exits. And so you get a full penis, but you don't get a rigid erection. So there's a threshold blood pressure that you need to achieve in order to get a rigid erection. So for example, you're on the roof of a burning building, and there's another building that's 6 feet away. If you jump 6 feet, it's a really good day. But if you jump 5.5 feet, it's a really, really bad day. So if you need 100 millimeters of mercury of blood pressure in your penis in order to maintain a rigid erection. If you get 101, it's a great night. If you get 95, it's going to be a really frustrating night, right? And so, you know, my approach to my patients is you have to optimize all of the aspects of blood flow. And one aspect of blood flow is the signal, which is why you boost nitric oxide and why you take a PDE5 inhibitor like Cialis or Viagra. And the other aspect is the actual blood vessels, right? So if your blood vessels look like this, then you need to generate new blood vessels. And so how do you generate new blood vessels, right? You generate it through a process called neoangiogenesis, right? And so what Gainswave does is it introduces a trauma or a sort of situation where there's the potential for injury in the penis. But what it's really doing is it's tricking the body into thinking that there's an injury, even though there's not. Like, your penis isn't injured now. You just let Gainswave, right? Your penis isn't in a, your penis isn't in a splint. You know, it's not hurting you.
Right.
Because it's
not black and blue.
So these shock waves go through the penis. But what they do is they trigger an injury response. And part of an injury response is the growth of new blood vessels, right? Because you need blood flow to heal. So when your body is fixing an injury, what it's doing, one of the things it's doing is it's generating new blood vessels so it can deliver oxygen, nutrients, glucose, protein, amino acids, all that kind of stuff to the site of the injury. And so that's the way that Gainswave works. You know, a lot of people think, well, you're dislodging plaque. But that's never been shown or proven in any clinical study, which, you know, I'm a clinical researcher, so I always think of things from a research lens. Like, how would you actually do the study? You know, the way that they did the study to look at the potentiation of stem cells and the release of growth factors is they had a bunch of rats. This was work was done at UCSF by Tom Liu. They did shockwave therapy on the rats, which, gosh, what a job that is. You know, there's all sorts of kind of careers, but doing shockwave therapy on rat penises has to rank up there with one of the most interesting. And then they sacrifice the rats and they cut off the penises and they look at it under the microscope and they see, okay, there's the ones that are getting shockwave therapy have more stem cells. They have more nitric oxide. They have more nitric oxide synthase. And they have more new blood vessels. But how would you do that experiment on 70-year-old guys with cardiovascular disease? You know, you have to shockwave them and they cut their penises off and then look at the penis out of the microscope. And not a lot of guys are lining up for that study. So that may potentially be one of the ways that it works, but it's never really been proven.
So the injury response, is that similar to lifting a bunch of bicep curls and damaging the muscle tissue in the bicep and then stimulating the injury response to rebuild stronger and better blood flow and so forth?
Exactly. Okay. You know, it's the same as muscle building. It's the same as most aesthetic procedures, right? You go for an IPL laser, right? There's or a CO2 laser that, that they create a bunch of injuries in your face. And part of that injury response is to produce new collagen or microneedling, right? Same thing. You just take the needle, stick it in the forehead a whole bunch of times. Your body generates an injury response. All of a sudden, your face looks puffier and you have more collagen.
So could a cavalier DIY person take his massage gun and work on the penis to stimulate?
Yes,
I mean, bumping and bruising, and then
that massage gun might temporarily increase the size of the penis, but it's not the right frequency.
Right.
To generate an injury response.
Yeah. And what's the role of nitric oxide in the story?
Yeah. So nitric oxide is a really, really interesting molecule. Nitric oxide is released by nerves and it creates a substance called cyclic GMP. And cyclic GMP creates a cascade to open up blood vessels. And as it turns out, after about the age of 40, your nitric oxide levels drop fairly precipitously, or your endogenous production, your production you create. And what that does is it makes blood vessels close, right? And so when blood vessels close or get more tight, then the heart has to pump harder, right? And we call that high blood pressure. So as you get older, your people are getting high blood pressure. And so nitric oxide boosters are a wonderful way to decrease blood pressure, right? I routinely take my patients off their blood pressure medications. And put them on nitric oxide boosters, which are totally natural and have absolutely no side effects. And the problem is a lot of people don't know about them because you can't patent it. So companies can't take a nitric oxide booster and make a lot of money on it and put television advertisements on there and hire Lady Gaga to talk about nitric oxide boosters, right? They're just, you know, it's a fairly ubiquitous supplement. You know, that supplement that I created is called Affirm, and it basically, it uses both pathways for nitric oxide boosting. One pathway is L-citrulline, which you get from watermelon, and L-citrulline turns into L-arginine. L-arginine is the nitric oxide donor. And the other part are nitrates. Nitrates are in beets and green leafy vegetables. And in the saliva, there's an enzyme that transfers nitrate into nitrite. And then in the stomach, there's an enzyme that transfers nitrite into nitric oxide. And so you get about 50% of your nitric oxide from nitrates, and you get about 50% from the citrulline arginine.
So a nutritious diet, eating healthy, wholesome foods can help you boost nitric oxide, taking a targeted supplement also. And are there other interventions related?
So, you know, for something like Affirm, you could eat 4 pounds of fresh watermelon every day.
Getting a huge boost from diet is going to be problematic, but
yeah,
you're getting your baseline levels if you're eating a healthy, nutritious diet.
Exactly.
And so the supplementing is really targeting that cardiovascular health. And in this case, why you called it Affirm is helping with your...
I love double entendre.
Your firmness.
Yeah.
And this is available on Amazon.
And Amazon.
You could read this there. And I'm trying it now for maybe 6 months. And it seems like a really effective product.
Well, I mean, a lot of elite endurance athletes take nitric oxide boosters. It's not any secret. Our bodybuilders use it as part of their pre-workouts.
Oh, sure.
Or cognitively, especially men or women over the age of 60, 65, it actually improves brain function because you're improving circulation of the brain. It improves blood pressure, but also, you know, it improves erectile function. So anything in your body where you actually need blood flow, which is pretty much everything, will benefit from nitric oxide boosting. Now, the flip side of it is now you've made this cyclic GMP everywhere, but especially in the penis. How do you keep the cyclic GMP available? And that's where PDE5 inhibitors like Viagra and Cialis come in, because they selectively block the PDE5 enzyme, which is only in the penis. That's the genius of Viagra and Cialis, is that they selectively block the PDE5, which is only in the penis. So a combination of a nitric oxide booster, which boosts cyclic GMP, and Viagra or Cialis will maximally improve erectile.
But keeping it in there. So it's sustaining your ability to have an erection as well.
Right. So if you don't have enough cyclic GMP, you could take a truckload of Viagra, it wouldn't work.
And you don't have enough perhaps because...
of diet.
It doesn't have to do with arterial health. It's plaque buildup and what...
You know, you're getting... This is a arginine is a non-essential amino acid, right? So you have to get it from the diet. And so if you're not taking in enough from the diet, or you have a problem with what's called the endothelium, which is the inner lining of blood vessels, which have what's called ENOS, endothelial nitric oxide synthase, which is an enzyme that helps your body make nitric oxide, then you won't be producing as much nitric oxide. And a lot of guys that take these medications, right, Viagra and Cialis, they'll come see me and they'll say, well, you know, I'm kind of getting tolerized to it. You know, it's not that you're getting tolerized to it. It's that your nitric oxide levels are dropping. So you're not making as much cyclic GMP. And so these medications aren't as effective, because the cyclic GMP is really the key molecule for creating a cascade of events that keep blood vessels open.
And just jumping in here with the psychological aspect, because as you describe process in your book and your articles, the process starts with the brain sending a message down the spinal cord.
Yeah, well, there are three ways that guys can get erections: visual, mental, so you can create fantasy in your mind, or touch, right? But the psychological aspect is huge. It's, you know, it's 50%.
50.
I would say 50%. So, for example, I had a patient a couple of years ago. He's like, doc, $100 down the drain. I'm like, what do you mean, Jen? He's like, well, I took my wife out for a nice dinner. I got a really good bottle of wine. I loaded up on Viagra. And then I said one stupid ass thing. And it was $100 down the drain. Right. So keep that in mind because Valentine's Day is coming up. And you don't want to waste $100. But I mean, that's the issue, right? So if your relationship is not where you want it to be, then it doesn't really matter if your physiology is 100%. It's not going to work. I mean, I think in terms of like, there's this Maslow's pyramid that I created in my mind.
The Brandeis pyramid.
Yeah. I mean,
male sexual.
Yeah. I mean, it's men's middle age health.
Uh-huh.
Right. So in the bottom is you have to be physiologically healthy.
Right.
You have to exercise. You have to have good weight. You know, don't drink, don't smoke, get good sleep, all that kind of stuff. Right. Because if you don't have that, you're not going to be able to get erection. Mm-hmm. Right. Then there's mental health. Right. So if you're depressed, if you're too anxious, you're not going to be able to get erections.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you're not emotionally healthy, you're not going to be able to get good erections. Right. And then if your relationships are bad, you're not going to have a partner that's going to want to participate with you. And then if you have all those things, then the top of the pyramid is sexual, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, that whole bottom of the pyramid has to work in order for you to.
So can someone problem solve, for example, you feel like the drug's not working or it only works once in a while, then we're going to go over to the psychological side. In other words, if you can get one good erection under pressure or whatever the circumstances are, then you know that your arterial health is sufficient, and then the rest of it's going to be lifestyle oriented. Or
yeah, I mean, typically when patients come into the office, I'll do an ultrasound.
Yeah,
and I'll look with the ultrasound at the blood vessels, and I'll say, you know, that like your blood vessels look fine.
And 90% of ED is
malady
blood vessels. Okay, so that population is coming in with a complaint that is legit, rather than they're just an asshole to their partner all the time, and so they.
Yeah, and you know, one question I ask all these patients is, do you get erections in the morning?
Uh-huh.
Right, because erections in the morning have absolutely nothing to do with the relationship.
Uh-huh.
It has to do purely with physiology, right? So this is your Mother Nature's way of keeping our penis healthy.
Uh-huh.
So every time you go into REM sleep, which is dream sleep, which is about 30 to 60 minutes every night,
uh-huh.
you should be getting a significant increase in blood flow to the penis. So you should be getting nighttime erections. Now, if you're not getting nighttime erections, then there's a problem with the vascularity or the blood flow to the penis. And there's a nifty little gizmo called the FirmTech. Give me one second. Right, so this FirmTech ring has a little pressure sensor in it.
Uh-huh.
And so you put this thing around your penis. I'm not going to demonstrate here, but you put this thing around your penis before you go to sleep, and then it measures how many nighttime erections you get. Right?
Every time it expands, it counts or something.
Exactly. Wow. And so we're actually going to do a study with a firm and the FirmTech where people are going to record their erections without taking a nitric oxide booster for a couple of nights. And then they're going to record their erections with taking a nitric oxide booster for a couple nights. And what we expect to see is an increase in vascular flow in the penis at night by taking a nitric oxide booster.
So if someone comes in with poor arterial health, the ultrasound looks bad, and hence you conclude that's the reason they have trouble getting erections, would this also always go hand in hand with overall poor cardiovascular and metabolic health?
Well, you know, so that's kind of the canary in the coal mine, right? So by the time you lose morning erections, it's about 10 years.
You know, 10-year warning sign.
10-year warning sign till you lose erections in bed. And then from the time you start to lose erections in bed, there's another 10 years before you develop cardiovascular disease.
Oof.
Right? Because the blood vessels to the penis are 1 or 2 millimeters. And remember, it's pi r squared, so it's basically the blood vessels in the heart are 3 to 4 millimeters, so the lumen of the blood vessels going to the penis are about a quarter the size of the blood vessels going
to the penis. They're going to get clogged up first before you have a heart problem.
Exactly. And remember, they're peripheral, right? The first place that your heart pumps blood is back to the coronary circulation.
Mm.
Right. So not only are the blood vessels bigger, but they're closer. So, you know, if you're developing erectile dysfunction, it's really important that you go see a doctor, because just taking a pill isn't going to fix the underlying problem. That's why lifestyle is so incredibly important. And especially if you have a family history of heart disease, especially a family history of early heart disease, you really want to get checked up. And the easiest way to do that is to get what's called a heart calcium score.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a CAT scan, takes 1 minute to do. It's usually a couple hundred bucks. And I say
it easy, though, because I had to call all around town and no one knew what I was talking about. It was unbelievable. I was looking through the internet and finally found a place.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's like not a routine test.
No, it's not a routine test, but it's actually a fantastic test because it will pick up early cardiovascular disease. Like, for example, like we did that VO2 max study.
Mm-hmm.
VO2 max will give you a number. It'll give you an idea of like what your level of cardiovascular fitness is. But if you go to a cardiologist, 99 times out of 100, they're going to do a stress test.
Right.
What does a stress test tell you? A stress test will tell you if there are going to be changes in the electrical polarity of the heart,
mm-hmm.
based on an ischemic event, based on the part of the heart not getting enough oxygen. So basically, either you're bad or you're not bad is the answer that you get on a stress test. You don't get a number that says
you could crap out at a 15-minute mile and be out of breath and done with the stress test, and it looks good, but you're in shit shape.
Yeah. Right. I mean, what VO2 max tells you is like where you are on that continuum of being in good shape. And so that's really what you want to know is the heart calcium score will give you a number anywhere from 0 to 1,000. You know, if you're at 1,000, you should be heading to the operating room for a six vessel CABG the next day. And if you're zero, which 50% of people are, you're doing great. But say you're 10, or say you're 40, or say you're 100 or 200. Guys, in my experience, guys respond to numbers.
Yeah.
And so when you get a number that's not perfect, all of a sudden you kind of scratch your head and say, oh, I got to do something about it. Like I had a patient, we did a VO2 max test on him, and he was like 41. And it came out, he wasn't in great shape. So it said his chronological age was 41, but his biological age was 44.
Uh-huh.
Right. So I said to him, I said, you know, if you keep it up, you're going to lose at least 3 years of your life expectancy.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh my God. And he, like, overnight, he started exercising, he started eating better, his health bits were better. Like, I didn't really have to say anything after that. It was just like, there's the number. I mean, I could lie to you, but it, you know, that's the number.
Yeah.
You're going to lose 3 years of your life expectancy if you keep things up. Or you can totally, or you could totally turn it around, and probably in a year or two, he's going to fix things that maybe his biologic age will be 38 or 39. I mean, your biologic age was what, 10 years less than your chronologic age?
I had a good VO2 max score, but
yeah. I mean, my biologic age was, I think, 7 or 8 years less than that. Like chronologic age. I mean, it's anyone could do this stuff. It's not like any magic. It's not like any $100,000 pill.
Mm.
Just get out on the trails.
Improve your VO2 max score.
You're right. Drop some of your unhealthy habits. Sleep better.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a time and a place for interventions like Gainswave or PRP or penile Botox or M-Cell-A-Chair or peptides like PT-141, or you know, all these things that that I offer in my office, and I'm researching and so on and so forth. But clearly, the cheapest and easiest and best is homegrown.
And how does that go over in your clinic? I'm assuming that someone who comes through the door is already pre-selected to have an extreme interest in their health and the budget and the discipline to do what you're going to say. It's not, you know, it's off the beaten medical path.
Yeah, I mean, right? some do, some don't. I mean, some come in just because they can't get erections and they think that I have some sort of miracle that's going to make them better.
Yeah.
And I mean, something like Gainswave is, it's pretty cool. But I mean, if you still want to be fat and smoke and not work out, it's not going to work very well.
Right.
Yeah, it may give you a bump for a little while, but And what I want to do with my patients is to create a long-term path to living their best life and benefit. Here, I get it. I'm not really that interested in just doing something like Gainswave and then having someone just keep doing the stuff that they're doing. That's why we do the body composition. That's why we check testosterone and all the other labs. It's an overall, you know, I mean, if your engine's conked out, why change the tires?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like your car's not going to run that well. You know, you want to fix the engine and fix the tires, and then maybe get a new coat of paint and some fuzzy dice on the dashboard, and then you know, then you'll be attracting women.
Yeah,
But if you don't do all those things, it's not gonna really work out all that well.
Mm-hmm. So we're basically trying to get a optimization of the next 10 or 20% by taking advantage of the protocols and the medications too.
Exactly, and you know, like we talked earlier, testosterone really is an important part of that.
I know,
and that's something that, as you get older, your testosterone declines. And
either precipitously or gradually, depending on.
I mean, usually it's gradually, but can be precipitously. Mm-hmm. And there again, it's a lot of its lifestyle, mm-hmm. but it doesn't necessarily have to be. And, you know, some people it's just genetic, some people it's diet, but that's mm-hmm. certainly something that we check. And if it's low, and, you know, like, for example, I have a supplement called Support, which is DHEA, which is a testosterone precursor. It's Tunkat Ali, which helps boost free testosterone. It's DIM, which blocks the conversion of testosterone to estrogen. And it's ashwagandha, which helps boost testosterone. But, you know, even something like Support can only boost testosterone 15%.
Right.
Uh-huh. Right. So beyond 15%, if your testosterone is 250 or 300 or even 350, and clinically you have low testosterone, meaning you have low energy, you're not thinking as well, you're not sleeping as well, you have less drive, less sex drive, less libido, your muscles are beginning to waste away, you're putting on fat, testosterone can be, you know, life-saving, can be miraculous.
You were talking about one of your patients where they had the replacement therapy. Then they had more energy so they could go work out more. They had amazing improvements in body composition, adding muscle mass, dropping body fat. But first you have to get out of the chair and get going. And a lot of times I think we forget that if you don't have that natural drive and that baseline energy to go and lift up a weight, it's going to be really tough to change your lifestyle.
Absolutely. So, and it's not just a question of, like, you know, get your ass off the couch and go do it. I mean, testosterone really does affect the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And if your testosterone's low, you won't have that innate motivation or drive that testosterone gives you. So for example, I used to treat a lot of patients with prostate cancer. When you have metastatic prostate cancer or prostate cancer that's spread outside the body, one of the first interventions is to take a medication that will medically castrate you, because testosterone is, at high levels, will push the growth of prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. And if you eliminate testosterone, it will basically make your PSA go from high number to zero,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it will basically stop the growth of prostate cancer. But there are a lot of negative effects of making someone medically castrate, which include putting on fat and getting rid of muscle. Mm-hmm. And so it's really, you know, it's dramatic. And these guys just don't have the motivation to go to the gym. And then also they don't have the signal to build muscle. Mm-hmm. So for example, you're 12 years old, right? You're this little scrawny kid. And then 7 years later, you're 19, you put on a lot of muscle. You've taken off fat, you've grown an inch, your penis grows, you put on you know, pubic hair, you're chasing girls around. What's the difference? The difference is testosterone. Your testosterone went from 200 to 1,000, right? That's the power of testosterone. Testosterone is not a drug, it's a hormone. We know exactly what the effects of testosterone
mean.
And if you're in your 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s and your testosterone's low, it's very clear what the benefits of putting someone on testosterone.
I'm so excited to introduce you to Peluva. This is a new zero-drop minimalist shoe with the distinctive five-toe design from my main man, Mark Sisson. Peluvas give you the most authentic barefoot-style experience, but with sufficient cushioning so you can use them for all manner of daily movement, especially walking and many other fitness and athletic activities. Peluvas are also incredibly stylish, so you get a barefoot shoe that you're not embarrassed to wear around in daily life. It's been so cool to see the popularity of minimalist shoes grow over the recent years, but Peluvas are a step ahead of every other zero-drop wide-box shoe because of the critical feature of individual five-toe articulation, a separate slot for each of your toes. This allows for correct dynamic movement of the foot through the walking or running stride, which is impossible when your toes are encased into a single box, even a wide box. Well, you might know that minimalist shoes have faced controversy in recent years for causing injuries from inappropriate use. So here is the big picture mission. We want to get you walking in Peluvas, living in your Peluvas, going barefoot in your home or other safe areas as often as possible. Go ahead and use your specialized cushiony running shoes or your basketball shoes, work boots, high heels, things that you want to wear when you want to wear them, but wear your Peluvas as much as possible to reawaken the natural functionality of the human foot to stand, walk, run, and perform. Do you want to try a pair? I'm certain that when you put them on and walk around, you are going to quickly realize that these are the most comfortable natural shoes that you've ever worn. They are designed to feel like you're, quote, walking barefoot on a putting green. Please visit Peluva.com, that's P-E-L-U-V-A, and use the code BRADPODCAST and get 10% off your first pair. Peluvas, let your feet be feet.
So when you say low, we have the generally recognized normal, quote-unquote, range. They just bumped them down, right, which was a funny story, but it's something like 200 to 900 or something.
Yeah, I mean, the range is huge.
Yeah, so that's what I'm asking. Like,
it's like,
do you want to be in the middle?
Well, you know, you could be anywhere between 5 foot and 7 foot.
Yeah.
But it's not just a number. It's clinically, how are you doing?
Mm.
And also, what are you doing? So I treat a lot of first responders, police, fire, SWAT, those guys. Those guys need higher levels of testosterone because they're chasing around bad guys that are 20 years old, that are, you know, high on methamphetamines or whatever, and they're doing bad things. And these police officers whose testosterones are 400, 450, 500 or less because they're doing overtime or they're doing, I just saw a guy the other day that does the night shift, right? And his testosterone was low. And guess when your body makes testosterone? At night.
Right.
So if you're up all night expending energy, guess what? You're not going to make testosterone.
The stress hormones antagonize the production of testosterone.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and that's when your body actually makes testosterone. Mm. That's why sleep is so important. Mm. You know, you build muscle when you're sleeping.
Mm.
You know, you fix your brain when you're sleeping. You build testosterone when you're sleeping. And so if you're not getting enough sleep, guess what? You know, you're not going to build enough testosterone. So, and I mean, I've had dozens of stories from my first responder patients where they're in life or death struggles with criminals, where if they didn't have adequate testosterone levels, they probably would have been in big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, if you sit behind a computer, you're not in mortal danger, and you may not need those testosterone levels, which is actually why, as a society, our testosterone levels have dropped 30 or 40%. Over the last 50 years, because, well, yeah, I mean, if you're
physical,
if you're like, say you're a hunter, and back in the caveman days, you needed high testosterone because you weren't hunting wild animals, which don't like to be killed.
Yeah.
If you're a farmer, you're not hunting wild animals, but, you know, you're tilling the fields and it's very physical work. You need high levels of testosterone, maybe not as quite as high as hunters. But if you sit behind a desk all day and on a computer. And I'm not criticizing people for doing that, but I'm just saying your body is smart. Your body is only going to make what it needs. And so if your body's like, well, yeah, I'm not out killing animals.
Because you're not going to the gym and you're not competing at anything. And
yeah, then your body's like, well, you don't need that much testosterone. You know, it takes energy and substrate to make testosterone. Your body's like, I'd rather be something else.
Yeah, if you're in a committed relationship, your testosterone drops due to the increase in oxytocin. When the baby is born, the father's testosterone drops.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Because Mother Nature doesn't want you going to chasing
it. Make whatever you need.
Exactly.
You got your conquest.
It's like those penguins that keep the baby in there.
Uh-huh, yeah. So you make a good case, and the subject has become a mainstream topic now about replacement therapy. And for decades, we were informed that there was this horrible downside of introducing exogenous male hormone. And now it appears that downside has been misinterpreted, and that there's not much downside, and there's a tremendous amount of upside.
Okay, so I'll tell you what the downsides are, okay? And I have if you go to my YouTube, which is Brandeis MD, I just did like an hour-long webinar for first responders, which goes through all this stuff, so you don't have to remember everything I said. Just go to my YouTube and look for the testosterone webinar for first responders. But basically, it does not cause prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry about that. It will make your prostate grow a little bit over time because testosterone is converted into dihydrotestosterone. But there's a ton of things as urologists that we can do to fix prostate problems. Mm-hmm. Also, because of DHT, you can lose hair on your head. That's not what happened to me, but you can lose hair in your head. And so we recommend a biotin-based supplement, oral minoxidil, a near-infrared light helmet, PRP for the hair. So there are things that you can do to prevent that hair loss, but that is definitely a concern for some folks. You also can get oily skin, right, or acne if you're prone to do that. And remember, this is just like putting people through a second puberty, right? The other thing that happens is your testicle shrinks, right? Because you're bringing in testosterone from the outside, and so your testicles are saying, well, you know, we don't have to do our job anymore. Someone else is doing it for us. But I put my patients on a medication called Clomiphene or Clomid, and that prevents the testicular atrophy. You can either be on that or HCG. So that's a fixable problem. The other thing is that testosterone converts into estrogen. So you can have higher levels of estrogen, but there's a medication called anastrozole or a natural supplement called DIM, which blocks the conversion of testosterone to estrogen. And so I have a compounded medication of a small amount of Clomid and a small amount of anastrozole that my patients take every day. And so we prevent that complication. The other thing that can happen is your red blood cell count can go up. And if it gets up too high, it can put you at risk for cardiovascular problems. So for example, there were some Belgian cyclists maybe 10 years ago that were taking EPO.
EPO was also the middle 90s. So it was 30 years ago.
Yeah, maybe 30 years ago.
And they were dropping dead in the middle of the night.
Well, I mean, what was happening is so then your red blood cell counts are too high. And then you get into a bike race and you get dehydrated because you're climbing off all these mountains. And then all of a sudden your blood turns into sludge, you know, turns into thick mud. And some of these guys were getting strokes. But if you're doing this at a doctor's office, you can get blood tests and get it checked, and it's totally safe. The problem is people are doing this over the internet or with gym bros. And when they're doing it over the internet or with gym bros, then they don't have access to testing. They don't have access to knowledge. So, you know, I wrote a bunch of eBooks. If you go to my website, brandeismd.com, under media, drop down to eBooks, there's a bunch of free eBooks on testosterone. Download them. Please read them, learn about testosterone. I know so many educated people that really hurt themselves through the use of testosterone. I had a patient the other day, a smart guy. He got some tamoxifen from one of his buddies. Tamoxifen, acts as a selective estrogen receptor modulator. So it blocks the negative feedback loop and it can make your testosterone levels go up. But we use it mostly for women with metastatic breast cancer. And he was taking levels of a woman with metastatic breast cancer. And after 3 days, he lost his ability to get an erection because I looked it up. 20% of people that are on, men that are on tamoxifen, lose their ability to get an erection, right? So, and he comes to see me 6 months later, things still aren't much better. So the moral of the story is don't do stupid shit. Yeah. There's a lot of really good information out there.
It's high-stakes stupid shit.
Yeah, I mean, all my...
You can do minor stupid shit whenever you want.
I had a patient who was getting testosterone from his gym bros. And, you know, I don't overcharge my patients. So, you know, we sell it for a pretty reasonable amount of money. So he came in with one of his friends to get a body composition scan. And he heard about that we were doing testosterone. He wanted to convert it over to me. And I said, I'll start taking care of you. But the first thing we need to do is to get a full set of labs. Mm-hmm. Right. And his hematocrit was sky high.
Over 50?
And it was like 58.
Now that's scary. Huh?
Yeah. And so I sent him a text. I said, you need to go and give 2 units of blood at Red Cross right away. And he blew it off.
Oof.
And he ended up, this is a true story.
Doctors are texting me all the time. I just blow off the doctor texts giving medical advice. I listen to my gym bros instead.
Exactly. Well, he ended up getting a blood clot in his liver that went to his intestines and infarcted his intestines. And he had to be transferred from Kaiser to either UCSF or Stanford for a higher level of care because he was in the intensive care unit. I mean, it's really bad when your intestines die. Right? That's a true story. I mean, it's the first time I've ever heard of it. But if you're out there taking these medications without someone who actually knows what the heck they're doing, you can really hurt yourself.
So we hopefully are getting routine blood panels throughout life and looking at those male hormones. And I've talked a lot about on my show how frequently I test my free T, my serum T, and my sex hormone binding globulin, focusing on the male hormones because I think they're proxy for all the other stuff that are usually fine. And if you're seeing good numbers, then you're not really a candidate for replacement therapy is the proper term, but just so the listener viewer understands, like when we hear about the dopers in sports, what they're doing is abusing these substances and putting in superhuman levels so they can break records. So you're talking about at your clinic and your patients and people making this decision is hormone replacement therapy to get to a therapeutic level that's going to make a difference in life, but you're not going to be bashing in car doors and superhuman strength.
You know, so you bring up a really, really good point, which is what is actually an appropriate level. And when I was doing general urology, you know, just like a regular insurance-based conventional doc, I would say, well, you know, let's get guys to 500 to 700. Let's get them right in the middle of normal, right? But that actually doesn't work, right? Now I get my guys between 1,000 and 1,400.
So that's above what almost anyone would deliver naturally, even a studly college athlete.
But
1,000 would be kind of the upper end of what you see naturally or without intervention.
You know, if you have a vintage car, you need high octane gas.
You mean an older patient? Is that what you're saying? Or what?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you want to get performance out of a guy in the 60s or 70s, you have to push more testosterone into that person in order to build. Like, for example, there was a study out of the Fielding lab at Tufts that looked at 20-year-olds and 50-year-olds doing the exact same exercise routine.
Mm-hmm.
And the 20-year-olds built 3 times as much muscle as the 50-year-olds.
They recover 3 times faster from minor Achilles tendon issue or whatever. So getting someone from 200 up to 700 or 800 is not going to be a huge bump, not going to be a huge lifestyle effect.
It'll help.
Yeah,
but you know, I've talked to these people a lot, and how you doing? Oh, you know, maybe a little bit better. And part of the reason is most of the treatment modalities are gels, creams, patches, and you don't get, I have another testosterone ebook on testosterone levels, right? So all the testosterone preparations that are gels, creams, you know, anything that's transdermal will only get your level up to about 450, 500, right? Because think about it this way, right? Testosterone's a big molecule. It's a 27-carbon steroid hormone, right? Water, H2O, that's a little molecule, right? When you jump in a pool, do you get waterlogged?
No.
No, of course not. How come? Because your skin keeps little molecules like H2O from crossing the skin barrier and waterlogging you. So then think about like a little molecule versus a bigger molecule like testosterone. How does testosterone get into your bloodstream? I mean, there are carrier molecules that carry stuff through the skin, but it doesn't do it at a high enough level that's really going to move the needle. So really, the only things that are going to get your testosterone up to 900, 1,000, 1,400 are either pellets, testosterone pellets that we put under the skin that last about 5 or 6 months, or injection.
So the pellets spewing a little bit into the bloodstream over a very long period of time.
This kind of drips consistently.
And the injection's going right into the bloodstream.
Well, it goes into the muscle.
And then it
slowly diffuses into the bloodstream. So there's subcutaneous injections into the fat, or there's injections into the muscle.
Right. And that's something that you would do fairly frequently if you're on a replacement regimen.
So for my patients, I usually try to have them do it twice a week. Right? Because if you do it once a week, or sometimes even people do it once every other week, you get really high peaks and then drops and then peaks and then drops. That's when you dip into like that, maybe that roid rage thing where people are getting a little bit more aggressive because of the peak. And then before the next injection, you know, they're back to being like a lamb, and then they'll
suck up to being
they go from ram to lamb.
Well, so sounds like you're taking this fork in the road where you're going to be dependent upon the outside source of testosterone when you make that decision to go on replacement therapy.
Well, now, but if you go on clomiphene, right, that keeps your testicle producing. Uh-huh. So you could get off testosterone at any point in therapy and say, you know, stop for me. And your testicles will kick back into making normal amounts of testosterone. But if you don't, like I saw this one ex-Raider, all-pro guy, just giant, 350-pound guy. I mean, I couldn't believe how big he was. But his testicles were that big.
Because he was using it for a long time.
Because he played in like the 80s and 90s, and he was using for a long time. And he wasn't taking something like clomiphene or HCG. And so now his testicles are small. And if you do it for long enough, they're going to stay small.
It's irreversible.
Yeah. For me, if you do it long enough, it's irreversible.
Yeah. However, today, with advanced medical science, we can remain on replacement therapy for a lifetime, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like that expression, everything's better with bacon. Everything's better with testosterone.
Right.
Like all the benefits of testosterone, even there, you know, it's heart healthy. There was just a big study that came out confirming that testosterone reduced the risk of cardiovascular disease. It actually reduces the risk of diabetes and type 2 diabetes. I mean, it does so many beneficial things.
I mean, isn't it arguably prostate healthy too in some ways?
In some ways.
In case you're not familiar, that was the dire warning that we've heard for decades that testosterone will drive reproductive cancer.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, when is your testosterone highest in your 20s? When is your risk of prostate cancer almost zero in your 20s? When is your risk of prostate cancer highest in your 70s? When is your testosterone lowest in your 70s? So, you know, there's an inverse relationship between testosterone levels and your risk of prostate cancer.
And also, if you arguably maintain fitness, muscle mass, VO2 max, you're going to be resilient against all kinds of cancer and, you know, metabolic breakdown, thanks to doing what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, exercise fixes almost everything.
So I've had a longstanding belief and behavior system of avoiding all outside intervention, prescription drugs, anything. And I'm very open-minded to the topic, especially when we get deep into this and realize that the adverse side effects that, you know, we've heard about are not really validated by science. But I'm also believing that I'm going to do the best I can with every lifestyle category, test frequently, and I'm seeing a good result, so I'm not even a candidate. And also that lifestyle part where you say how you're performing, and I'd love to perform better. And if I got my testosterone up to 1400, I probably would. But at a certain
point, I mean, you know, we all, there's that performance curve that we were talking about.
Yeah,
we're at 60.
Yep.
At least in the data that I have, you decline. It's like life is like walking up an escalator, right? When you're younger, you can get up the escalator, but as you get older, the escalator gets faster and faster and faster. And so, you know, at a certain point, all you want to do is maintain.
Mm-hmm.
And then at a certain point, you just don't want to decline as fast as you're supposed to decline.
You're talking about walking up the down escalator.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's what I got in trouble for when I was a little kid. I loved doing that.
Yeah.
If you go fast enough, you can get up to the top.
Yeah.
But then you just want to stay.
But when you're 70,
put, yeah,
you can't do that
anymore. Yeah. Don't get sucked out the back. That's all you
exactly.
want. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
No, you don't want to be sprawled on your ass off the escalator.
Yeah.
You know, because it goes faster and faster. Like when we're after the age of, I think, 30, we lose 0.8% of our muscle mass per year. Mm-hmm. But after the age of 70, it goes to 1.5%.
Ooh, that adds up.
You know, per year.
Yeah.
And that's just the way nature is. Now, if at 70 you start taking testosterone, you may actually build muscle. I mean, I have all my in-bodies. I can show you lots and lots of patients who are patients here who I put on testosterone and I put on my M-Sculpt machine.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 months later, we check their muscle mass, and lo and behold, it's higher by some very significant 3 to 5 pounds of new muscle that we can build based on testosterone and some of the other technologies I have, like M-Sculpt. You actually can build muscle in guys that are in their 70s.
Well, certainly if they dedicate the time and energy to it, which maybe they have, arguably better than other decades where they're immersed into career and family.
Well, but if your testosterone is 250, it doesn't matter how often you go to the gym and how much you do, you're not going to build muscle.
I suppose if you're walking into a gym with low testosterone and some metabolic problems and low VO2 max and just out of shape, and in the older age groups, you're going to progress to a certain point, and it's not going to be terribly impressive, is what you're saying. I mean,
no, or you may not progress at all. You know, the other thing is diet, right?
Mm.
Muscle's made out of protein. So if your diet is mostly carbs and you don't have much protein,
mm.
guess what? Your muscles are going to waste away. Mm. If you're not adequately hydrated when you're exercising, you're more likely going to get hurt because your tendons and ligaments are going to be dried out, and your blood pressure, you're going to have to work harder to maintain blood pressure. Your performance is going to be weak. So, you know, maintaining adequate hydration when you're working out, something like creatine. Right. So creatine, I mean, it's a supplement, creatine monohydrate. It's typically for younger guys, we recommend 5 grams a day. Mm-hmm. Almost every pro athlete and amateur or high school college athlete is taking creatine. But then after we stop competing, we forget about it. Right. But we still have the same physiology.
Right.
Creatine basically just regenerates ATP. And what do we need ATP for? Anything that involves energy. So anything that's a very energy intensive activity, like exercising, or even if you're, you know, doing something mentally, like taking a test for 3-4 hours.
Yeah, it helps refresh the brain.
It helps, refresh the brain neurons by rebuilding or regenerating ATP.
Mm.
And then also a nitric oxide booster, like if running, right, is going to help boost circulation. So you deliver oxygen and blood to where it needs to go. So these are all things, when you're 20s or your 30s, you can get away with a lot of stuff,
right? You're still you're still have a lot in the bank, I suppose.
Yeah. And you know, once you cross that 50 barrier,
yeah,
you really have to begin to think much more intelligently about building muscle, burning the fat, not getting injured, you know, and tailoring your exercise. Like, I love running. We were talking about it before, but you know, it messes up my back and it screws up my legs. And so now I do elliptical. Would I like to go out run on the trails? Yeah, you bet. But my body can't take it anymore. Or, you know, biking. You know, I'd love to be out on a road bike, but too many people I've seen get hit, or, you know, too many people I know got crashed on a mountain bike. And I just, in my life, I can't afford that right now.
Right. So well,
I get on my spinner bike and I put YouTube on and I'm riding through the Alps one day and I'm riding through Hawaii the next day. So, you know, it's okay. And I get a really good workout because I'm not to stop for stop signs or any of that kind of stuff.
And you get to finish the workout and live to tell about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's more boring, but that's what I have to do in order to maintain a level of fitness that will keep me going.
Yeah. Well,
and sleep, right.
And sleep is, it seems like everything flows downstream from getting adequate sleep, because we're talking about male hormones and things that are going to get destroyed if your sleep habits are off, even if you're on replacement therapy, I suppose.
Yeah. And that's why a single intervention doesn't move the needle.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need a whole bunch of stuff to move the needle. And then when the needle's not moving well enough, then you need interventions like a nitric oxide booster or testosterone supplement or Gainswave or PRP in combination with those lights.
Yeah, that's just respecting the differences in aging over the decades and doing something about it. But meanwhile, you know, supporting that graceful aging from the bottom of the pyramid. Yeah.
Yeah. According to my patients, there's really no such thing as graceful aging. Aging is rough.
It's if you don't do anything about it, it's even more rough.
Yeah.
But I will say it's rough anyway when you're talking about the difference.
Oh yeah, I mean,
getting away with everything.
The injuries.
Yeah.
Like little minor injuries that you have that you know wouldn't really bother most folks, but when you're a competitive athlete.
Yeah.
And you're trying to do the things that you were doing when you were 20.
It's different.
Yeah. Tough.
I remember my son in a middle school track meet in the 4x1. And he's cranking around the curve, and all of a sudden he pulls up lame, like you see the guys in the Olympics, and he's grabbing his left hamstring. He's in excruciating pain. He's lying on the track, and I'm like, oh no, there goes the track season, and the basketball team's headed to the championships. This is a disaster. And I help him off the track. We go home. We ice it. And then like 3 days later, he's getting dressed for basketball practice, and I'm like, wait, are you think you can practice already? How's your leg? And he goes, he forgot which leg. It's fine. Are you sure? And he was like, yeah, he'd forgotten, you know, it was completely healed in 3 days. And, you know, I'm looking at 13 weeks or whatever with all those things. So it's a careful balance to respect that, instead of when people say aging is just a number. And I heard someone strongly refute that. And I appreciated that take for a moment, because it's not just a number. You better respect the crap out of it and do everything you can.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have some assignments here that we've received during this great show. Maybe we could just summarize. And when you're dealing with these real people coming in here every day, what are the, you know, the biggest payoffs and the biggest send-offs that you give your patients to maximize the results of what you do?
Yeah, well, and there's really some simple stuff. Don't drink alcohol. Don't smoke cigarettes. Don't eat too much. Don't do drugs. Make sure you exercise every day. Try to stretch every day. Try to meditate every day.
Run.
Get a good night's sleep. Be nice to other people.
Love it.
Right. I mean, those like 9 or 10 things, that's just like a no-brainer.
Yeah. And if you're watching and not listening, I'm showing his book, The 21st Century Man, this beautiful, gigantic volume that you can get on YouTube. And tell us how you came up with this project, because it's quite a unique book with the different chapters and all.
Yeah, so you know, we all got COVID, and so I had to for 2-3 months, and I'm not one of those people that can just sit around and play mini golf,
and so
real golf Yeah. Well, I think the golf courses were pretty much closed too.
For whatever reason, and the hiking trails were closed in the county of LA. I'm like, wait a second, are you kidding me? This is exactly what we want people to do, is get out on the outside, but whatever.
So, you know, it started as a small book on sexual medicine, but, you know, as I would see patients and they would come and talk to me about their issues, like, well, sleep problems or relationship problems or addiction problems or physical problems, I began to add chapters to the book, and to the point where it got to be 101 chapters, and really is the most comprehensive men's health book ever written. And it's written not just by me, because I only know a certain amount of stuff, but me and 60 of my other men's health physician and expert colleagues about every aspect of men's health that potentially can affect health, longevity, and sexual health. And don't be intimidated by the length of the book, because it's really 101 little books rather than one book that you're supposed to continuously read. Because, like, there's nothing that annoys me more than reading a 300-page book and realizing there's about 2 pages of information in the book. In fact, that's why I had like this thing called Blinkist.
Right. Yeah. Summary.
Recorded. It summarizes recorded. But, yeah. You know, if you did a blink of this book, it would still be 900 pages.
It would still be long. It would be the longest Blinkist ever.
It would be the longest Blinkist ever, because every chapter is fully condensed and just pure information. So, like, I have a lot of respect for people's time, and none of these chapters will waste your time.
And the diversity of the topics are great. You can pick and choose what you want. I was jumping to the relationship section and realizing how that's a driving factor in your physiological health. And then there's a specific one about foot care and dietary matters.
Yeah, so I mean, I had a podiatrist write the chapter.
Yeah. So it's a great
The famous hair transplant surgeon writing the chapter on hair replacement. There's some really, really unique chapters in the book that I don't think you'll find anywhere. One is a chapter written by a healthcare executive on health insurance.
No.
Right? The healthcare system in this country is really, really, really messed up. And very few people actually understand health insurance and how it works. And this chapter is essential. You know, a lot of us buy health insurance for our employees or our families, and you have to know what you're buying. And I mean, health insurance for my family this year is over $30,000. So to buy something for $30,000 and not know what you're buying is a big deal.
Wow.
Right? You wouldn't buy a car with no knowledge of what you're buying. Right? Another chapter is what men need to know about menopause.
Wow.
Right? That's a big deal. Like, you know, you and your wife have a great relationship. You're in your mid-50s. All of a sudden, your wife comes home one day and she's like off her rocker. And you're like, what the hell's going on? Now, you could either go out to the golf course and forget about it, or you could read the chapter, understand what's going on, be empathetic with your spouse, and your relationship will actually get stronger.
No.
And so that's really an essential chapter. Susan Bratton wrote an amazing chapter on how to please a woman. Right. So, I mean, that's enough said.
Go get it on Amazon. You can get your Affirm supplements too, and get that nitric oxide going and the testosterone boost. All kinds of good things coming out of the Brandeis MD Medical Clinic here in the East Bay of the San Francisco Bay Area. If you're around, come in and check them out. Otherwise, check out all the offerings on the website. Thanks for those free eBooks and those types of resources too.
Yeah, I mean, I love educating people. That's what I do.
Thanks, everybody.
Hey, I want to tell you about Schwenk Grills. This is a revolutionary portable gas infrared grill that uses the exact same heating technology as the world's best steakhouses. You heat up to 1500 degrees Fahrenheit to grill the juiciest steak you've ever tasted in as little as 3 minutes. Can you believe it? That's right. You do not have to go to those crowded, noisy, super overpriced steakhouses anymore when you have the same technology in your backyard. And the Schwenk portable infrared grill is not just for steak. You can make chicken wings, hamburgers, seafood, lobster, vegetables. I make salmon in 3 minutes. They even have a pizza stone accessory. I want you to visit their very informative and mouth-watering website at schwankgrills.com. That's S-C-H-W-A-N-K. Everything you cook, faster, juicier. The speed is so important, so convenient. There's a drip tray on the bottom, so you let the juices drip down. I love the bison burger, the venison burgers. That's my game. And then you can add a mixture of butter, spices, whatever you want, into the tray. Pour it back onto your meat or your salmon for a huge improvement in flavor. Are you getting hungry? I am. Let's go to schwankgrills.com, S-C-H-W-A-N-K, grills.com, and up your home cooking game. This is a one-of-a-kind grill. I have a great discount code for you, of course. It's Brad150 to save $150 off your purchase of a Schwank grill. Thank you so much for listening to the B-Rad podcast. We appreciate all feedback and suggestions. Email podcast@bradventures.com and visit bradkearns.com to download 5 free ebooks and learn some great long cuts to a longer life, how to optimize testosterone naturally, become a dark chocolate connoisseur, and transition to a barefoot and minimalist shoe lifestyle.